The 20th century brought forth many monsters, many of them are recognised as such. Very few people have any illusions about the scale and atrociousness of the actions of Pol Pot, Stalin or Hitler. But for some reason, Mao Zedong has escaped some of the disgust and contempt that most people retroactively feel for the dictators of the last century. There are still shops selling Mao memorabilia, from posters and badges to copies of the Little Red Book. But even if people think they're using these things ironically, how long will they be able to do so as more evidence of Mao's infamy emerges? A new book based on meticulous research in the Chinese archives says Mao Zedong was responsible for the deaths of 45 million people between 1958 and 1962 alone. It's called Mao's Great Famine, A History of China's Most Devastating Catastrophe, and its author is the scholar Frank Dakota of Hong Kong University. The big numbers and the small details are simply mind-boggling. I asked Professor Dakota, how do you kill 45 million people?
It's a large country, but how do you go about doing that? The first step in 1958 is to pretty much declare, as Mao does, that every man, every woman is really a soldier in a giant army. And then you use the giant army to, in one continuous revolution, you deploy your workforce that runs in the hundreds of millions to tackle one task after the other, either working on irrigation projects in the evening or smelting iron in backyard furnaces in daytime or working on the fields. Now, the problem with that approach is that once you start collectivizing everybody, as you do in the army, once you start herding people together in giant people's communes and you collectivize everything, you strip people from their land, their homes, their livestock, their tools, there's absolutely nothing left. There's no incentive to work. The profit motive is gone. The only thing that you have left is a stick. Coercion and terror are the foundation of that regime, and you must force famished people to go into the field and do work for you.
How did they coerce people?
People were... Once the carrot is removed, there's nothing but a stick left. People are beaten all the time. People are forced to strip in the middle of the winter to work outside. Pregnant women.
Why would you? Say again? Why would you force people to strip in winter?
You would force them to strip in the belief that they will have to work in order to stay warm. And this happened from the north all the way down to the south. Even in Guangdong province, it happened. In one case, 300 people have to strip bare and work in the middle of the winter on an irrigation site. There's nothing but the stick to force people to do work. Some people have their ears chopped off, their noses lopped off. The slightest infraction is punished by drastic measures. One man called Wang Siyo, for stealing a potato, has his legs tied up with iron wire. A 10-kilo stone dropped on his back. Somebody chops off one of his ears, and then he's branded with a sizzling tool. In Sichuan, some people are poured in petrol and set alight. A small boy, for having stolen a grain, is punished. His father has to actually bury him alive, and then the man dies of grief himself.
And you found all these things in the Beijing archives?
There are, not just Beijing, there are dozens of archives. It's a massive one-party state that, like all one-party states, meticulously compiles its own crimes with extremely detailed records that give you the name, the place, who did what to whom, when, and where. An extraordinary amount of documentation that shows levels of violence and coercion are widespread throughout the country. You could put it very simply, once there are no incentives to work in the countryside, villagers and party officials are locked in a spiral of violence, a mounting spiral of violence.
And how long does this go on? It begins in the late 40s.
Well, the revolution takes place, the so-called revolution takes place in 1949. So the Great Leap Forward starts in 58, 10 years after the Chinese conquest of China.
So the killing doesn't really start till the Great Leap Forward.
Indeed, 1958, and there is a retreat in 1962. So it's about 4 years of a catastrophe that destroys not just human beings, but also housing stock. In some places, Hunan province, 40% of all the housing is destroyed to create fertilizers, to straighten roads, to punish people, to build giant canteens for the people's communes.
So 45 million people in just 4 or 5 years. 10 million people a year he was killing.
That's pretty much it. Yes, and these are new statistics based on all sorts of surveys. Sometimes at the level of entire provinces like Sichuan, which is the size of France, extremely detailed surveys by the very public security bureaus themselves.
How much of this was also reinforced with mass political brainwashing?
A lot. Even before this all starts, in 1957, there is a purge carried out to get rid of party members who somehow don't toe the line. Hundreds of thousands of party cadres are dismissed and replaced by very hard, unscrupulous men who are quite willing to trim their sails to benefit from these radical winds that blow from Peking. And for the ordinary man on the street, farmers know very well that there is no point in speaking out or doing anything that might go against the grain. Falling asleep at a meeting is enough to warrant a beating. People who don't turn up in the morning in the canteen get beaten. Some of them get banned from the canteen because they don't work hard enough. Nobody wants to speak out in those circumstances.
Does the political brainwashing go on even after the Great Leap Forward is over?
1962, Great Leap Forward is over. This catastrophe doesn't quite stop. Of course, you can't just reverse a disaster of such gargantuan proportions, but at least people die in less greater numbers. But then, of course, from 1962 to 66, there's a little bit of breathing space, but 66 is the start of the Cultural Revolution.
And this Cultural Revolution then takes more lives?
It takes far less lives. It takes about 2 or 3 million, as we can tell from what has been published on that topic so far, on the basis of official and semi-official sources. God knows what the archives will reveal when they're opened on that particular period.
Do you think it's possible, as Zhong Chang suggested 5 years ago in a book, that Mao's ultimate death toll could be 70 million?
I don't think that would be very astonishing. When we see the extraordinary extent of death and violence and coercion that took place during the Great Leap Forward, on the basis of these party archives, one really wonders what will come out once we can read on the Cultural Revolution. And don't forget that while I've been able to use these party archives, not all of them are open. It's only a partial opening up. Everything very sensitive in the central party archives in Beijing is still locked away very safely.
Frank Dakota, author of Mao's Great Famine, A History of China's Most Devastating Catastrophe. A longer version of that interview in which Professor Dakota talks about why people didn't rebel, about the degree of denial in present-day China, and how he managed to get the information in the first place, will be on our website from this evening.